The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I'd actually like to start out with the fallout from the Nancy Pelosi incident, where she has the secret meeting to talk trash about Trump, alleges a cover-up, and then Donald Trump cancels his meeting with the Democrats to do infrastructure. And this is amazing to me. You gotta hear this, man. This is crazy. So here's a story. I first saw this on Yahoo News. And the headline of the story, this is from Dylan Stableford and Christopher Wilson. Took two people to write this. 2020 vision. Altered Pelosi video shows the risk of deepfakes in campaign. So now we've got a new buzzword, deepfakes. And guys, the expression fake news actually did not come from Donald Trump. If you recall, it came from, I believe, the Washington Post came out with this term. And they did it in order to discredit the other side, right? So they would say fake news. And they've done this several times. I remember Kellyanne Conway once was doing an interview, and she was saying that the news would take facts and not report them correctly. And so she said that what she had was a set of alternative facts, meaning that she had the real truth and that everybody else was misreporting things. Well, the news turns around and says that what Kellyanne Conway says are lies, and they call those lies alternative facts. So they took the original phrase and they kind of turned it around, right? Well, Donald Trump took the term fake news that other news organizations, mainstream news organizations, were going to use that term to try to belittle other smaller organizations. But what happened was Donald Trump took that term and put it to mainstream news outlets like CNN and MSNBC, and it stuck because it's quite obvious that what they do is fake news. Now, it's not fake news in the sense of Hillary Clinton is an alien from space. It's fake news from the sense of what I just told you about Kellyanne Conway, or mainstream media outlets will overemphasize a story. For instance, when they reported that President Trump asked for two scoops of ice cream when everybody else, you know, around him only got one scoop, and then turn that into a giant story. Okay, well, maybe he did actually ask for two scoops of ice cream, but they take the importance of it and they blow it up, trying to make him look like a dictator for a freaking extra scoop of ice cream. Do you guys remember that ridiculous story? Or they'll take a picture of his rally hours before his actual speech commences. So it's an actual picture of the rally, but they mislead you with the size of the crowd because it hasn't filled in yet. Not everybody has been seated yet. And then they release a picture showing a smaller crowd size than what's actually there. Now, sometimes mainstream media will do an actual fake news story, like when they reported about President Trump removing the statue of Martin Luther King, when he didn't do that, right? The reporter had seen the statue in a certain area, and then later on, at a press conference or something, he didn't see it there because somebody was standing in front of it. So he assumed that they moved it and then turned that into a big news story. And that actually made the rounds. Now, that particular story they retracted. But the guys, there are hundreds of ones that they did not retract. And so this is why the name fake news stuck to them so well. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because of this Yahoo article now. This risk of deep fakes in campaign. So I watched Nancy Pelosi speak live when she held a press conference regarding the incident when Donald Trump, she said he banged the table and stormed out, and then Donald Trump had a press interview where he asked one person after another, you know, what actually happened in there, and they all said that he was very calm, he didn't bang the table or whatever the Democrats said that he did. Well, Nancy Pelosi was asked a question, and I'm going to play that clip for you. So the reporter asks, why aren't you on the road to an impeachment inquiry? Because many of the members of your caucus want that. Why don't you do it? And here's Nancy Pelosi's answer. I'm going to play the reporter's question so that you can hear the full context, although it's a little bit tough to hear. But here's Nancy Pelosi's answer, and this is unedited. And just look for stumbles and pauses in her speech as she answers this.
Yesterday you said that the president may have engaged in impeachable offenses.
Yeah.
Yet today you're saying you're not on a path to impeachment. Can you explain why you are opposed to launching an impeachment inquiry, as many of your members want to do?
Let me be really very clear. The president's behavior in terms of his obstruction of justice, the things that he is doing, it's very clear. It's in plain sight. It cannot be denied. Ignoring subpoenas, obstruction of justice. Yes, these could be impeachable offenses. But I intend not to, the three things.
Okay, now other than the fact that that's a clip, that space of the clip is not edited. So I let it play from the beginning of where I began the clip to the end of where I ended the clip, right? Where I finished the clip off. I did not alter anything in there. There's no deep fake occurring there. All right, you hear that Nancy Pelosi normally stumbles and pauses in her speech. It happens. Now I'm reading this stupid article from Yahoo that somebody posted a video of Nancy Pelosi slurring her speech. Now, Yahoo is claiming that that is a fake. Now, it might be a fake. I don't know. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because you're going to start seeing stories like this where they're going to claim that something is a fake. And you mark my words, if it's not happening right now, they're going to claim things are fake or make you believe that things are fake when they're not. So now, when you see a video of Nancy Pelosi stumbling, your mind is going to go back to this Yahoo article. Well, or it would if you didn't hear me intervening here. But the typical person who doesn't do any research, their mind is going to go back to this Yahoo article, and they're going to say, oh yeah, there's a deep fake of her stumbling around, stumbling over her words. So it might not be true. Do you see how they gaslight you and how they make you think that what's happening, what you know to be true, is not true? The sky is blue, and they'll call it, they'll say the sky is yellow, right? And they'll repeat it over and over and over again and make you think, well, maybe the sky is yellow. So Nancy Pelosi's older. She stumbles over her words. Okay, I don't think that's the end of the world. I don't think that's that big of a deal. But the left's whole thing is that they are trying to look as perfect and flawless as possible. They're hiding. Nancy Pelosi is coming out, and she did it earlier in this conference. I can play the clip, but I don't really want to go back to it and waste time and bore everybody. But Nancy Pelosi is acting as if all the Democrats are on board. There's very clearly, all you've got to do is follow the Democrats, follow the progressive wing of the Democrat Party on YouTube, and you can clearly see that there's a huge war going on among the Democrats. And this lying lady will come out and tell you that there's complete unity. And it's simply not true. And the left comes up and covers up for her. In fact, another clip that I could play that she said earlier was that, and we're going to need your help. And the press laughs as if, you know, well, you know, you're going to get it. At least that's how I took it, right? So now they're claiming deep fakes. Well, I go on YouTube. They said that, well, the video's not real, but at least they didn't delete it, right? Well, I go on YouTube to find the video of Nancy Pelosi. And here's the article real quick so that you can understand what I'm saying, what I'm talking about. A video of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi altered to make her sound drunk or ill, promulgated this week by supporters of President Trump, sent an ominous warning about AI-enhanced disinformation in the 2020 campaign. Now, they've done this trick before. If you recall, Jim Acosta was acting like a fool, and an intern was trying to get a microphone out of his hand, and Jim Acosta kind of pushed her hands away. And so they made a what's called a GIF. They took a clip of that video, and they posted it. And the mainstream press pretended that that video was fake, saying that a frame had been taken out of it in order to make it look worse than it actually was. Guys, I watched the original video. I know what happened, okay? You can't tell me that that was fake. I saw it. I saw it happen. Now, I watched this live, of this clip of Nancy Pelosi here speaking with my own two eyes. And I just played the clip for you. I didn't do anything to that clip. Now, listen, sometimes when you computers, in order to play things, they use formats. They use compression formats, okay, to save memory. And sometimes when a format is implemented, that format will take out, you know, certain pieces of information. For instance, they'll take out color information. So maybe the copy of the video isn't as clear as the original. But that doesn't make it a fake. Sometimes frames will be dropped in compression. But that doesn't mean that that video was faked. Sometimes a rate of speed will be a little bit different. I encounter this problem when I try to do a video and an audio, and I'm using two different sources. Sometimes the audio will play at a different rate of speed than the video that I'm recording. It's very annoying. But that's what computers do. That doesn't mean that the video that I took is faked or that the audio that I took is faked. So do you understand how they're trying to conflate these terms and these situations in order to make you think that things that are real are not real? So just watch for that, guys, in this upcoming campaign. You're going to see, I guarantee, you're going to see more of this. Deep fakes. So what? Remember that word. Remember you heard it here on the How to Kill an Hour radio show. Deep fakes is going to be the new term, the new fake news term, to try to fool you in this upcoming election. But guys, we're a little bit smarter than that, okay? We didn't fall for the Russian BS, and we're not going to fall for this garbage either. And you know, you go on YouTube and you try to find the original clip, and it's all mainstream media sources because they changed their search algorithm. You used to be able to search for a clip and find it easily. But they've made it so now only mainstream news sources come up. And let's face it, most people, when they're trying to find a video clip, are going to use YouTube. Now, there are competing platforms emerging, thank goodness. And I am looking into these to find out the best ones. But right now, YouTube is pretty much it, guys. If you want to search for a video, post a video, and you want people to see it, unless it's political, of course, but typically YouTube is your go-to place. And what sucks is that most people don't follow politics that closely, as closely as I do or many of you listeners do. And so they'll never know. They probably don't even realize that YouTube has changed their algorithm. You know, they type in Nancy Pelosi slurred speech or drunken speech video, and instead of finding that original video that's posted, they're going to find all these news stories saying how they faked a video to make Nancy Pelosi look bad. It's frustrating, right? But who controls the flow of information controls the world, right? Hey, look, Alex Jones named his program InfoWars. A brilliant name, whether you like Alex Jones or not. That's a good name because it is an information war that's happening. And it doesn't need to be that way. If only we could just see the truth unfettered, right? Unaltered. We don't need these tech companies playing God for us and telling us what we can see and not see. Let us see the videos that are posted. Don't take them down. Let us see them and we'll judge for ourselves. We'll figure it out. We'll be able to tell if something is fake or not, one way or another. We don't need these companies giving us their ideology and controlling the flow of information so that we think the way that they think. Because the way that they think is not correct. Not always, anyway. It might be correct for their situation. They might know how to run a tech company, but they don't understand the values that other people have are going to be different from theirs. In Silicon Valley, in Palo Alto, there's only one trailer park left. And that trailer park, there's a fight right now to save it, but that trailer park is probably going to be gone soon because rents have gone up so high and the buyer or the owner is struggling on whether or not they should sell to the highest bidder. I mean, you know, money, right? You want as much money as possible, or if they should sell to somebody who will not bid as high but promise to keep the tenants there. Personally, I'd sell to the highest bidder because there's no guarantee that that person is going to keep the tenants there. I don't know. Maybe you can sign a contract or something like that, but I don't trust them. I say get the money and, you know, and do what you can because you don't. If you really want to help the residents out, then don't sell. Because you're going to sell to somebody else. They're going to turn around and they're going to say, thanks for the bargain. We decided not to keep the parks here, not to keep the park here. And then sell it to one of the tech giants so they can put in a new warehouse or something. The point is that is a very rich area. And so, you know, sometimes when people have too much money, they lose touch, don't they? And they think that they know everything. And they know a lot. Definitely. They know how to run a business. That is very hard to do. But living in an area of town like that shields you from the reality of how people actually act. And then you start making laws. You know, when a big company is able to afford to pay a higher wage, they'll start saying, well, everybody should pay a high wage. And small companies are forced out. People who just started a company, they don't know how to run a company yet. They're finding their way. They're struggling to figure out how to do it. They're not taking paychecks because they're trying to stay open. The employer gets paid last. But, you know, a big company doesn't understand or doesn't remember that. You know, you have employees come in. A lot of these people come in straight from school. They didn't struggle. They didn't know what it was like. They never ran their own business. They might be a cog in the wheel, but not being the owner, they don't understand the struggle. And then they're going to tell other businesses that they have to pay a minimum wage, you know, and set that wage. Well, that's going to eliminate their competition. That's good for them. Amazon can afford it. Google can afford it. But a brand new mom and pop business isn't going to be able to. And, you know, they always play the same trick, right? They'll hike up the wage and they'll say, oh, we'll ease into it. We'll ease into it. Not realizing how devastating it is to have a minimum wage. Because then people whose labor is not worth say, $17 an hour like Seattle raised it to. That means that people whose labor is only worth $16, $15, $14, $13, $12, $11, $10, $9, $8, $7, $6, $5, $4, $3, $2, $1 an hour are not able to compete anymore. They're now competing with people whose labor is worth $17 an hour. And who do you think the employer is going to hire? The most competent person. So that means that somebody who before could have had a job at $10 an hour is now not going to be able to find work. I mean, probably. There are other factors. But what I'm saying is that the tech giants don't understand how the real world works. And so when you have them dictating policy or influencing policy by controlling the flow of information, it's a very bad thing to be doing. Now, should the government step in? I don't like the government to step in. I want competing companies and technologies to come out. But it's hard for a new company to start if the big companies are setting the rules and influencing the government to set the rules. And that's really what the problem is, right? I mean, the big guy who's made it is always going to try to be on the lookout for competition. That's a normal thing. But when you have the government involved, they're the people who have the guns. You know, they're the people who will put you in jail for not following the rules that they set down. And they're the ones who have the real ability to stifle competition. I mean, could you imagine trying to start a phone company right now without owning any of the phone lines? You know, I mean, how would you even start? I don't know. But maybe somebody will come out with some other technology. Maybe something similar to a radio wave, but on a whole other bandwidth. Maybe they'll figure out a more efficient way of transmitting things. And then they can start a company. But will they be able to fulfill all the regulations that the government has set down since the telecom companies first came into business? What about starting a bank or investment company? Mitt Romney said, I don't want somebody to be able to start a bank out of their garage. Well, why not? I mean, is a typical person going to be dumb enough to invest in somebody who's running a bank out of their garage? No. It's going to be like friends and family and stuff, right? But then as a guy gets better at running the bank and managing the money, then maybe he'll be able to move into a real building, right? Maybe he'll be able to get clients outside of the family because he's done a good job. I've known people who've tried to start baking businesses, but they can't because there's too many regulations. They can't not start a business out of their kitchen, at least not without being illegal for a while. Wow, there are a lot of other topics I wanted to get to. Looks like I'm not going to be able to. I mean, the limitations of a half-hour show, right? But it looks like we're going to go to a war again with Iran. You know, every president, they promise no war, no war, and then boom, war. You know who I'm pulling for to win this next presidency? I'm sorry you guys aren't going to like this very much, but I'd like Tulsi Gabbard to win. I know she's not going to, and she's a Democrat, and I don't agree with her economic policies at all. But if we can end the wars, the unnecessary wars, that would be great. Congress, again, have abdicated their role. You're only supposed to be able to have a war if there's a declaration of war, okay? You can't go blockading other countries and doing war activities without the say-so of Congress. And yet that's what we do over and over again. And with John Bolton in there, he's got the president's ear. And then the president launched this threat saying that, you know, we'll wipe you out of existence or whatever to Iran. It's a bad situation, and we're going to have another Iraq on our hands. You watch. I hope that doesn't come to pass. But, you know, kind of a fitting topic, isn't it, for Memorial Day? But things like this make the country less safe and less secure, and I really hope that we're able to avoid it. So please, Mr. President, keep your promises. You said that Iraq was a mistake, and you were right. And you said that if you were there, you wouldn't have done it. Let's hope that you follow your own advice and stay the hell out of Iran. Guys, thanks for listening to me. Have a safe and happy